I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards? Oh, hello, America.
Hello, everybody.
Everybody listening to Breaking Backwards. It's been another week for you. It's been a day for me and Meg. We're recording this the day after our last episode. That's fun. We never do that.
Gonna have a buffer, one in the can.
Yeah, one in the can. Wait, what? In the bush?
Why? Because, like, something in a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
I've heard that in films.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't know what it means, but whatever.
Okay.
We've just watched a pretty famous
episode.
Pretty fun episode. I thought you'd like this one. I'm pretty sure you did.
Yeah, I seem to like it.
Yeah, it was rompy.
It was a romp, yeah.
It was a romp. They had a kind of a heist at the end-ish. Not really.
They had a setup.
Yeah.
A sting, maybe?
An ordeal, like a plan with moving parts and music layered over the back of it.
Yes, it was orchestrated well.
With a goal?
Yes.
Yeah. It was Better Call Saul, you guys. It was an episode of television that spawned a whole series of television called Better Call Saul.
It is that, yes. And that's it. That's good. So that was the whole episode.
That was the whole episode. We're done talking about Bob Odenkirk's sweet ass after this.
That's rough for me, emotionally.
Yeah, I know.
And they don't even have ads for him or anything before this episode.
No. I know, right? I was flicking my bean a bunch when we were watching this just to get it out of my system.
I will say, I think maybe the part of it that's hardest in this series watching it this way is that, like, I'm all done. There's no more Bob Odenkirk. We've got 20 more episodes of television or so, and yeah.
Yeah, anytime anyone's watching this series, I always tell them, I'm like, the three best characters get introduced in the back half of season two, which is Gus, Mike, and Saul.
Yeah.
And so then they just kind of go like, bloop, 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 because it's, what, Saul's this episode, and then I think two or three later, Gus, even though he doesn't have a lot to do, but he comes in the next season, and then two episodes after that, Mike's there, and it's just very fun. And then in season three, they're like, hey, these three chums, let's have them around a lot. And then they made a prequel series, and they're like, these three chums, let's make it all about them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, basically, fuck Aaron Paul. We're sick of his shit, and now he's all we have.
And Bryan Cranston, who is a bummer to be around.
He's pretty cool.
I thought you might find this funny. Somebody sent me a tweet that was like, the most recent two celebrities saved on your phone are the stars of a romantic comedy, and my most recent two were Bryan Cranston and Dolly Parton.
Oh, fun.
And I was like, that would be a really weird romantic comedy.
Is it? That's age appropriate, though, right? Are they?
No, I think Dolly's a little bit older, because she's got to be in her late 70s, early 80s, right?
Oh, yeah. She looks great, though.
Yeah, no, she's fantastic. And she's a beautiful soul, so, like...
Yeah.
Like, Brian should be so lucky.
Mm-hmm. I think Brian, done up in his Walter White outfit, looks legit older than Dolly Parton, dolled up in a concert outfit.
True.
Because he looks kind of haggard.
You can tell he didn't wear a lot of sunscreen when he was younger.
Mm-hmm. I didn't either. I'm scared.
Oh, yeah, no, I just started really, like, being diligent about putting on sunscreen on my face, and I'm sure I'm going to be aged terribly in a couple of years, as all the collagen.
I also avoid the sun a lot.
Yeah. This year has been a weird combination of going a really long time without being in the sun, and then being in the sun a lot, so we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah. Sunny here, though. I can walk outside in a t-shirt now, which is cool.
Ooh, la la.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, I like this episode a lot. I think it's a lot of fun. I remember getting very excited about the ending of it when I first watched it, because I think I saw this like a month after I'd heard of Mr. Show. Like And I was like, oh. And I, because someone told me to buy the DVD, and I worked at Best Buy at the time, and I bought it. Because TV series on DVD used to cost $1 million.
Yeah.
You'd be like, all right, yeah, the whole series of Mr. Show for like... literally 150. It was a lot.
Yeah.
But with your Best Buy discount, you can get it pretty cheap. And I watched it. I loved it. I'd never heard of this Bob Odenkirk fella. And then I was watching Breaking Bad, and I was like, what? He's here? Oh, but it's just a guest star, so he's just going to be a one-off, and then the ending kind of implies that he's going to stick around, and I got really excited by that.
Yeah, that's wild. I got Mr. Show, the series, on DVD for, like, my 17th year Christmas. Christmas when I was 17, a senior in high school, so I guess I was, like, 2004. And I had seen it on TBS late at night and was like, this shit is insane. But yeah, it was like enough to be a big Christmas present. That's how expensive it was. Like, that was the thing I got that year.
Do you remember how much $100 was in high school?
Oh my God, forget it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I spent that much on the OC complete series. And that was like, well, fuck no, I guess I can't eat this year. Jesus. It was, I think that was about $100, maybe $120. Oh, with God. My Best Buy discount. I wonder if that thing's probably worth a lot of money now. Because I bet they don't make it anymore.
I mean, they definitely don't make it anymore, but I don't know how much money it's worth.
I used to have, the Lost Complete series, and it's like this big pyramid, and there's puzzles all over it. And I know they don't make that anymore, and my dad fucking lost it in a move. I left it at home, and I found it. It's like going for $600 on eBay.
That's wild.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, I want to sell that because, you know, that shit's on Hulu now and I don't really care.
Yeah.
I was like, ah, fuck. I really want to. There's like a black light and there's a hidden compartment with like a free ancient board game that characters on the show play. I don't know. I like Lost.
I have never seen it. I've seen like the pilot, but I never got into the show.
It's a mess, but I like it a great deal. I even like the later seasons that people seem to have their panties in a bunch about. I think it's pretty good. But anyway, I feel like we're both pretty mellow right now.
Yeah, we're in good moods, but we're pretty chill for a Sunday afternoon.
Yesterday, I feel like we're just not used to doing this like the day after, and we're just like, all right, we're chill.
Yeah, we usually go a week without talking to each other in person, and now
and
it's
then
like,
it's just like,
everything. I've had 1,000 thoughts since we spoke last.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll dive into it. Yeah, so this opens up with a scene that I would imagine has been done to death in scene study classes in LA.
God, I could totally see this being poorly acted over and over again.
Yeah. Having been in a few of those and seen like popular scenes from television, I've never seen this done in a scene study, but boy, can I imagine it. In a black box, and they bring their little outfits, and they have to bring their little bench, and do this scene.
I watched somebody recently do a casting director workshop where she performed a scene from a popular show. I forget which one. And then I watched other people go through their scenes, and good God, was it hard to stomach these casting director workshops, man. Just hearing, you know, lines delivered by much more talented people, like regurgitated through these people that are all doing like fucking Jim Carrey impressions. It's painful.
This is kind of on topic. I've meant to bring this up to you on the pod. Did you know that they completely reshot Breaking Bad with a completely different cast for Spanish language, and it was like aired in Mexico as it's called Metastasis, I think, and it's Walter Blanco, and it is, you can watch all of it. It's literally line for line, beat for beat, but it's in Spanish with Spanish speaking actors.
Why did they do it that way?
I don't know. It was like, and then they aired it like a soap opera. It was literally like 62 weeks. Or no, less than that, because they aired a new episode every day, which feels like a lot of effort for a very little fucking payoff. But wild. Yeah, they did that shit. It's wild. In like, I don't know. I've never watched any of it, but we should maybe watch all that.
Why should we watch it? We won't know what's going on, but we'll have a vague idea.
Well, we put on subtitles.
Oh, yeah, but we already watched it regular. Okay, fine. Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm down.
Okay, all right. I guess we just don't care about our Spanish-speaking audience, so we shouldn't watch the other version.
Okay.
Yeah, I went there.
I just won't know what's going on, and I'll be like, like frustrated.
Okay,
I don't know.
That is true.
I don't know if you know this about me. I can't, like, learn foreign languages. I've, like, had special doctors test me. Like, I had to go through, like special doctors, like, in rooms testing me for language disabilities. And they're like, yep, it's true. You can't. And so I feel like I would just get mad and be like, whoa! And I just revert back to, like, how I felt when I was 12 in Spanish class. Like, I don't know what's happening. Stop.
Oh, I did not learn a lick of Spanish in Spanish class. I don't know if I should blame the teacher or myself.
Probably both sides share some fault, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, should learn French. Maybe I'd get that more.
I don't know. I think German is useful, but I can't. I've tried. I can't. And it's only useful for me because my brother lives in Switzerland. Somebody once told me, because they asked, like, oh, what does your brother speak or whatever? And I said Swiss German, among other things. And they were from Germany. And they said, that's like our hillbilly language. And I was like, wow, well, a whole country speaks Swiss German. Way to be mean to my brother. Like,
wait, is Swiss German different than German German? I've never heard of this.
Yeah, it's what they speak in Switzerland.
They don't just speak Swiss? It's called Swiss German?
Yeah, they don't. There's only like the mountain people have like the native Swiss language, but it's only like, you know, pretty remote mountain towns. Other than that, the universal language is Swiss German, I guess. And I think banking is done in High German. I guess it would just be kind of like what you would think rednecks speak, like by the way rednecks speak English, or maybe like a more shitty, like, I don't know what you want to describe.
So it's more of a vernacular than a language?
I suppose so, yeah.
I don't know. Okay, interesting. I'm learning a lot.
Let me tell you about their 7 presidents now.
Ooh.
Ooh, yes.
Like, wait, they have 7 currently, or they've had 7 total?
They always have 7.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And they're all just business people. And you
Are any of them Donald Trump? Yeesh, I didn't like him.
No, none of them are Donald Trump. But anyway, okay. So this is the Swiss Life podcast, where we talk about Switzerland and how it's different than the United States. Thank you for joining in.
I am assuming their air is cleaner. That's another thing.
Yeah, it's very much cleaner.
But anyway, Badger, and I actually looked at the actor. This actor, definitely not an under 5, so I'm not going to put on the music. But DJ Qualls, you've seen him in a bunch of shit. We all have. Apparently he wasn't. Oh, shit. He was in Lost, and I don't remember him in that. And I've seen that show 4 times, I bet.
He was just like a 90s, an early aughts.
Definitely early aughts. Yeah. Literally only has 1 credit in the 90s. I'm looking at it. But it's a thick chunk of 2000 to 2009.
Yeah, no, I think just must have aged poorly. And once 2010 hit, no thanks.
I remember him in Lost. He was in one of the flashbacks. Okay. He was a big part of an episode. How did I forget him? He's very forgettable. I think that's why he never took off as much as he probably would have liked.
Yeah. I think also, I don't know, you know those baby face actors when they do finally like hit a certain age where they start to show their age? It's like, oh boy.
Yeah, you're either this guy where, hey, you're going to get a lot of roles really young and then you're going to play child molesters till you're dead, or you're John Hamm and you're not going to get a lot of work and then you're going to get a lot of work.
Yeah. Will you have women thinking you're the sexiest thing in the world?
Meg's pointing to herself while she's doing that.
Yeah.
And boy, you'll have some men thinking you're the sexiest guy ever.
Goddamn. John Hamm, man.
I love him. He seems cool.
Yeah. Apparently he was like, before you and I moved to LA, he was easy to find and like hang out with in the comedy community. He would just go to the shows a lot and like
He was on a lot of comedy podcasts that I used to listen to before I moved to LA, so that makes sense. He was just like every podcast recorded at UCB, like, John Hamm's our guest.
That's different. And he's single now, so I just need my chance, really, because you know I've got something he hasn't seen before.
Is he still single?
Yeah, he's apparently still single.
Oh, wow. I'm sure he is just living it up. Get him tested before you do anything with
him. Yeah, no, we would use a condom.
He has been, running around, I bet. And as he should.
Yeah, no, good for him. And it would be but an honor. So, John Hamm, if you're listening, just comment on the podcast and I will get in touch.
And John Hamm, if you're listening and you want to experiment a little bit, get in touch. Yeah, anyway, Badger and the guy from the popular film The New Guy, which we all remember from being played on Comedy Central a bunch in like 2008. They're on a bench, and Meg called that this guy was a cop. I mean, was trying to be coy and say, no, he's not.
It wouldn't make any sense if he wasn't a cop. Like, how else would the scene have gone in any way that progressed the story if he wasn't a cop?
Okay, Meg knows how to write TV, so she's gonna pick up on these tricks. Oopsie daisy. Anyway.
Wait, you knew he was a cop the first time you saw it, right?
I had an idea. I legit got fooled. I thought, maybe he's not a cop. When you're watching it forward, you have no idea what's going to happen. You think maybe this is just a mood piece.
I mean, any number of things could have happened where, like, he does successfully deal drugs, but he gets up to walk away and his pants fall down and there's kids all around and the cops arrest him and he gets, you know, arrested for public indecency or something like that. I mean, lots of things could have happened, but it makes the most sense to make this little twerp a cop. So I guess that lie that I've heard for a long time, like, if you're a cop, you got to tell me, that's not true.
Not in Albuquerque, at least.
Okay, fair point.
I don't know. Real quick, because we waited till the end last time, let's read a review.
Do it.
This one's from Lomo Row 11, who's a listener, apparently. And I don't know why that sounds like I'm dunking on him. I'm not. The subject line is, amazing podcast. I rarely listen to podcasts, but this is hilarious and worth my time. I love the witty approach and format. Who knew listening to a show about someone watching a famous series backwards could be so entertaining? Adam and Meg seem super cool. Would love to meet them and hang sometime.
Well, let's make it happen.
We'll make it happen. And maybe someone else should write reviews. Other people out there.
We'll hang out with you if you want. And if you don't want, we'll leave you alone forever. It's fine.
And we always want to throw out this caveat. They can be good or bad.
Yes. And we will read them either way.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, especially if they're bad. Yeah, I would love to read a 1-star review, God. Or no, I would love to read a 3-star review.
I kind of want to get that trope because I'll feel like we're going somewhere where if somebody goes, I'd give the 0 stars if I could.
But you couldn't, so you added 1 star to our pile. Ha!
Yeah. Negative stars.
Suckers. Anyway, yeah, turns out he's a cop and the scene ends and I like that he mentions the brown truck and the flower truck, and then the scene ends, and they actually, like, screech in a frame.
Yeah, I like that at the end as well, when they come back. They're the same fucking trucks with the same decals on them. Mm-hmm. And the brown truck just has, like, a metal sticker that just says, like, Duke's Flowers, that with, like, a white background. It's not even, like, you know, done well.
Yeah. They're fun. The people making this show, they know what they're doing. Yeah. Fun fact, this episode was written by Peter Gould, who later became the showrunner for Better Call Saul. Good for him.
Actually a tweet I saw from him recently saying they started shooting Better Call Saul just this past week. So
hopefully Jonathan Banks is vaccinated.
He's a national treasure. I'm sure he was first in line.
Yeah, he fucking better have been. I mean, he's, like, in his 70s, so there's no way.
Yeah, he's vaccinated.
Like, and he's got Hollywood elite money, so he, like, knows that he's got the secret he's been to those parties where everyone hangs out and snorts vaccine in the hills.
Oh, yeah. No, those are rough.
Yeah.
When you end up at those parties, you go, like, whoa, what am I doing? I don't know.
I got to move back to the Midwest. Oh, boy. Yeah. I got vaccine coming out my dick. Anyway. Yeah, I think it opens up after that, and Jesse and Jane just fucked a bunch on the floor.
Yeah, their clothes were all over the place and the TV was still on and he's just got a big old sleeping bag and she's like, this is great, but I'm gonna go. And he's like, well, wait, no, let's do drugs together. And she's like, psych, I can't. Fuck you. Marijuana is a gateway drug. And then she walked out of the room backwards or whatever.
She flipped him his her like 18 months sober coin.
Yeah,
and it says 18 months sober. And Jesse's like, "What is this?" He's like, "With these hieroglyphs." And she's like, "Oh no, you can't read. Oh, I did not realize that.
Are these runes from the Nordic gods?" Yeah.
He's like, "This coin is this worth money?"
There is a part of me that wonders, had Jane not died, how quickly they would have broken up, because he's just not smart. And she clearly had, like, I don't know how long he could have made her happy, you know.
Eventually, he must have, like, taken a Skillshare class, because he figures out a genius way to steal methylamine from a moving train and also, like, can make Walt's formula as good as Walt.
I hear what you're saying, but he's, like, uncultured. I'm not saying ingenuitive. Like, he doesn't have ingenuity. I'm saying, like, he's, like, he didn't know who George O'Keefe was, and he's just, like...
To be fair, I learned who George O'Keefe was from this episode of television.
Really? You never took any humanities classes or anything?
I did, but I must not have paid attention.
Those were the easiest fucking classes. Like, look at this painting. Remember who did it. Isn't that weird?
I mean, I got an A in these classes, but I apparently didn't soak in who George O'Keefe was.
Okay. Well, to be fair.
Oops on my part.
I also don't know if you didn't. I'm saying that it seems like Jane, when sober and has her life together, would probably get bored of Jesse pretty quickly, unless he made a real effort to, like, try to invest himself in her interests, which I don't know that that's something he was capable of.
No, I don't think he's going to do that. Well, yeah. This is possibly a dumb question, because if they're not going to be sober, if they're just going to be a heroin couple, can you heroin fuck? Or when you're on heroin, you don't fuck?
I mean,
I have no idea.
I don't know, but it seemed like it kind of knocks you on your ass for sure.
Uh-huh. Because, like, ecstasy, duh.
Yeah, that you just want to, like, grab each other, rub each other's bodies, yeah.
What is there? Drugs? You have cocaine, yeah. And then you snort it off each other's chest.
Uh-huh. Oh, I would... I'm so afraid if I ever did cocaine, that shit would just shoot out of my ass the entire time. That, like,
I'm pretty sure that's what happens.
Yeah, like I would be propelled up to the stratosphere. But
No, but so I was just saying, cocaine is a drug. I'm pretty sure in popular culture they fuck a bunch on, or at least that's what it seems like. I don't know, but you never see people like rolling on heroin and fucking a bunch.
I think you go right to sleep. That's boring. Like other drugs where you'd have sex, maybe weed. Like weed, I think gets people horny.
I've heard that,
but it's probably like really methodical. Like it's probably not like hyper sex. Obviously,
weed gets me horny for pizza.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And also alcohol, duh.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. That was
refreshing. Yeah, it's a good drug for, you know, wanting to, thinking you're hotter than you are.
Yeah, and everyone else. Yeah, so anyhow, Jane's like, I'm sober. I don't want to smoke weed with you. I got to get out of here.
And then she walks backwards out of the room, and she moonwalks, and then she keeps backing into the door like a Roomba that's stuck. She can't figure out how to end that bit.
Yeah.
Ow, ow, the door. Ow, ow. I don't want to stop moonwalking. Ow, ow. That's what happens. All right, after that, there's that little scene... Skylar's about to go to her first day at work at Beneke's.
Was that her very first day? I thought it was just like a busy time.
Maybe that's it. I kind of forget. It was a Saturday is the most important thing, I think. You're right.
Yeah, and she looked fucking hot.
She looked hot as shit. Yeah. She's a kind of... I think Skylar is better looking pregnant than not pregnant.
Okay. Well, she's not really pregnant there.
I'm pretty sure she... She might actually be. I'm trying to remember. I know she had a baby during the course of the show.
You can tell later on that she like gains weight in the right places for when you're pregnant. Because like my face got bigger and like
Her face got bigger later on.
And like it goes away eventually if you're you want it to. But she seemed to like not have the weight where it's supposed to be if you're actually pregnant.
So she's not actually pregnant here. Okay. I'm going to cut out all the parts that make me sound stupid there.
you're not stupid.
She's just like, I'm going to work. Is this like all she's in the episode?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I think she's just working double time for Beneke. It seems like Walt's just like, why you got to look so fucking good all the time? And she's like, stop it.
Real quick, we skipped over this. Before we see that Jesse and Jane have just coitused a whole bunch.
Oh, the commercial.
On Jesse TV, there's a commercial which contains all of our under fives for this episode.
Ooh, please.
It's a Saul Goodman. Oh, and it's kind of fun that Badger got arrested on a Saul Goodman bench before we as the audience know who that is. I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
In the commercial, there's like a kitschy Better Call Saul commercial. And in it is a girl named Casey Carruti playing Hot Chick Cop. And she has two credits, both from 2009. And she's a cocktail waitress in plain sight. Okay. And after that is Shanoa Allen. And he moderately books. You might remember him as... Oh, what is this fucking movie? Romeo and Juliet vs. the Living Dead as Gregory.
I don't think that made it to theaters.
I don't know what it is, but it seems cool. and he is... slated to be in a TV movie that's completed called Untitled Pajama Men Project. Cool. And he plays, they're both schlubby guy. Schlubby guy one is him. And then the other schlubby guy is Drew Pollock. And he, in the conventional sense, actually books. He has been on Grey's Anatomy, In Plain Sight on USA. He has 8 fucking projects in post-production. Jesus, guy. Leave some for the rest of us. Crash, the TV series, which seems to be really popular with people on Breaking Bad. Jesus Christ. And that's it. We're done talking about him. That's all 3 of them. Anyway, back to the White Kitchen. Walt gets a phone call from Marie.
And Marie is like, hey, Skylar, I don't know what to do. Please pick up. It's bad. And so Walt picks up and he's like, Marie, it's Hank. Or it's Walt. What's up? And then he goes over to the Marie and the Schrader household. And guess what? Hank's in the fits of flowbone PTSD. And he's being a weirdo. Apparently he showed up without any warning. And he just lays in bed. And he pretends he's fine. But he's really deeply troubled.
It's like when you're at school and you accidentally diarrhea all over yourself and everyone makes fun of you. And so you get sent home, but you don't want to tell your parents because you're embarrassed. And they're like, oh, he's just home. Right? We've all done that, right?
They would send you home without your parents picking you up?
High school.
Still.
You got, yeah, diarrhea. I mean, it didn't really happen, but it seems like it's something that could happen. You diarrhea, you're 16, you diarrhea all over yourself. And they're like, oosh, go home. And you're bummed out because, you know, you'd just gotten Alex Morrison to talk to you, and then now you're the kid who diarrheaed all over yourself.
My ex-boyfriend shit his pants in high school.
Cool. I have shit my pants as an adult.
Well, like an accident. Like, oop, that was more to that fart than I thought. Like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not like a full-blown, like, poosh, like everything.
My brother came to visit me at college one time. He was already graduated, but like I went to a big like football college, and so they had big games there, and he came to one of those, and me and him both shit our pants within 24 hours of each other.
Did you both have like stomach bugs?
I was on the way to class, and I farted too much, and I pooped, and I was like, oops, and then I just found the nearest building, walked into a bathroom, threw my boxers away, and cleaned up. And then my brother on game day also had a little farted too much and pooped, and he went into a friend of ours' house and threw his boxers away. And so, you know, peas in a pod, us. And that...
Oh boy, my son weaponizes his farts at me sometimes. I've seen it. And he has more than once, like, tried to weaponize his farts, and he goes, oops, I pooped my pants. And then he, like, takes care of it. And I know this is probably the wrong thing to say, but I think he's too cool with it. I wish there was a part of him that was like, ah, man, what am I doing? But instead, he's just like, ma, come on, help me clean this up. And I'm like, I'm sorry. At what point did I get involved in this? This was on you.
Wasn't this a coordinated strike against you? And then it blew up in his own face, and now he is asking you to help pick up the pieces?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know what? I do. I help because I love my children.
Oh, I know. You do love them. That's your Achilles heel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You should rule them with an iron fist like I would if I had Spawn.
Okay. So... oh, so then what the fuck happens? I forgot.
Walt just talks to Hank, and it's kind of sad. And
yeah, I actually felt a little emotional seeing Hank, like, despondent in bed, trying to pass off, like, everything's fine.
Yeah. Did you like what Walt says to him?
Oh, where he's like, we're more alike than you think, you and I.
Well, yeah, and he's also, like, kind of relating to him and kind of being a good guy?
I mean, I have a theory that Hank going after this federale benefits Walt, so I feel like he's almost just trying to, you know, pass off some work onto Hank, where he's like, go find him and kill him, because it's one less person he has to worry about killing, I guess. So I feel like he wouldn't be this gung-ho for Hank to put himself in danger had it not benefited him somehow.
Wait, but find him and kill him, that implies that it happens in the future, and we've seen everything in the future.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, he doesn't know what the future holds. He doesn't know where anything's going.
Okay, so cool. Fair.
I'll just set this guy out there. Hopefully this one sticks. I don't know. But, again, I'm a little unclear. I just know that some federales... Wait, no, not federales. Some, like, of the cartel blew up some agents with a tortoise that was packed with C4. And... basically, probably Danny Trejo's head, too. And so I'm imagining, and those people were, you know, in the with Juan Bolsa. So it seems like this cartel is going to be introduced probably sometime soon as like an obstacle to Walt. And Walt is probably like, yeah, DA, go take care of those people, because he doesn't even know before this that they have any sense that he's Heisenberg, or that Heisenberg is a character that exists, right? So, yeah. I don't think he's being a good guy. I think it's self-serving. I don't think it's altruistic, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, he's wearing Chuck Taylors in this scene.
No, he's not. He's wearing moccasins.
No, he's wearing Chuck Taylors. Here, I'll send you the fucking picture. Like,
okay.
Yeah, like, I
just thought they were his regular moccasins, my bad.
No, I thought he always is wearing moccasins, but this, okay, can you see my screen?
No, I just see you. Oh, wait, something's happening. Okay, yeah, I see.
Do you see those?
Yeah, those, but I can't tell anything about.
God damn it.
It's gonna be okay, dude.
No!
Okay, I'll check it out later. I don't want to accidentally fuck around and.
That's okay, I get it. But anyway. He's wearing Chuck Taylors, and it's weird. I just backed out of the wiki for this episode, so that's going to be a boondoggle. One second. King Bad, Better Call Saul.
Are you episode. Sure those aren't just his regular moccasins?
I am 100%.
Okay, fine.
I don't know why this is the hill I'm going to die on.
All right, well. I believe you, okay? My bad. I really thought it was his moccasins.
I just don't feel heard sometimes.
I'm trying to validate your feelings now.
Anyway, yeah, it cuts from Walter being kind of empathetic to him feeding money into a machine at Jesse's house and being an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, $90,000, though. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but also it's kind of funny because it's like, now I understand why he only had 16 grand to leave his wife, because they just had to bail Brandon out of jail, which is funny because it's like he thinks he's dying and he only has weeks to live, like a day after this episode. Why is he so concerned about if Brandon outs him or not, you know?
Because he hasn't had the opportunity to make a bunch of money yet. Like, this isn't enough for what he needs. And if Brandon outs him, like, he'll be outed by, like, noon next week. Like, I don't know. It'll be soon.
Yeah.
Noon next week is not a phrase that makes sense. But yeah, they apparently, Jesse's friends were too afraid to tell him that Badger is in jail.
And this is a pre-Tuco getting shot in the soda. Tuco is, or I'm sorry, Combo. I get all these names messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so Combo's still alive here. That's exciting. He talks to Combo.
He'll be alive forever until he's a baby.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I know. Because we're going backwards. Anyway. Yeah. Oh, and then it opens up and Hank's like, fuck, I gotta go. I gotta go act normal in front of people. I gotta go act normal. And then he kind of hanks it up in front of the entire DEA.
Yeah, that was sad. There's a lot of sympathy towards Hank in this episode.
They kind of do this thing again after he gets shot of, like, they do Hank has PTSD twice on this show.
Yeah, well, two differently upsetting things. Well, because he talks about, I think I just am a different man than I thought I was. You find it, been there, done that, no more Hank has PTSD type of story.
No, I just think, like, there's enough PTSD in this mind, like, he can have it still forever. And
he already could be dealing with this in 6 months. Why are we shooting him too?
We don't need to add new shit.
Yeah, so this also is buckling down on my theory that Hank should never have been made the ASAC because he just had too much shit going on.
Yeah, he had a bad year.
Yeah. He got in whatever happens, I'm sure we'll find out next week. He physically assaults a suspect, gets charges pressed against on him, shot, dropped, immediately gets shot, is basically paraplegic, has to get back. I don't know. It just seems like he's been through too much to then promote him. I'm sure I'm forgetting something else too.
No, you're not. I think you did it all.
Oh, wait, no, because then when he is chasing Blue Meth correctly, everybody's like, you're fucking baddie, dipshit. And,
I think them being proved wrong in such a, like, explosive way papered over all the other bad stuff that Hank did in this year.
It's not even the things he did. It's things that happened to him or he found himself in. Like,
the bad things he did, I'm just thinking about the assaulting a suspect and also assaulting Jesse.
Yeah. Well, what, besides assaulting a suspect, who was the like the guys in the bar, you mean?
The guys in the bar.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
I guess Gomez covered for him there, so that didn't matter.
It was like they made it seem as though they jumped him, which I guess he kind of like peacocked at them, but they made the first move, right? So
he was like, punch me, bitch. Like, I forget exactly what he
says. Yeah, he's like, make a move. And then they like, I don't know. If someone came up to you and said that, you wouldn't, your response wouldn't be like, well, time to fight. You would just be like, oh, I'm going to go to a different bar. I don't like
this one. I'd probably do that. Or I'd hold his hand.
All I'm saying is, like, you don't want to promote the guy to ASAC who has, like, that much drama, even if it's not his fault. You want the guy who's had, like, a pretty even-keeled career without a lot of ups and downs.
Also, even though he's an effective field agent and a loose cannon, you keep that guy in the field.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great in the field.
Yeah.
Administratively, I don't know if he's so good.
Yeah, like making him a manager of people and projects would probably really take away from what he's best at.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Lot to unpack. But yeah, he's like, hey, everyone's just tugging their own dicks. Let's get back to work.
And then he looks at a report that Steve Gomez puts together. And he's like, Blue Meth's still out there. Guess what? Guess what? They got it over. They got a no-shit dealer of Blue Meth, and he's at, you know, the Albuquerque PD. Let's go talk to him.
Yeah, they kind of imply that, like, they've caught, like, users of Blue Meth a bunch, but they've never caught a dealer. And so they're excited because, like, ooh, he'll have information. The guy from all those movies in the early 2000s is... interrogating him, and Saul comes in.
Yes.
And yeah, and he's like, he's saying a bunch of funny stuff because he's a funny guy.
Yeah, he's accusing Badger of masturbating in public, and he's bossing around the cop for being so young, and he's just being a real card. I don't know. And then he basically just gets the bare bones details and says, you know, if you want me to represent you, have somebody pay me, this is my retainer, so why not make it an even $5,000 is the thing I'm confused about.
And he also does a hilarious little bit where he mixes up Brandon with another client who's a public masturbator, and he's like, you jerked off in public, you jerk. And Brandon's like, I didn't do that. And in a Starbucks, that was where the public masturbator masturbated, which is very exciting. In a Starbucks, nice. Then I think it cuts to Jesse and Walt outside of Saul's office, deciding who's gonna go talk to him.
Yes,
and I love. It's like, you don't want a criminal lawyer; you need a criminal lawyer.
There's a difference.
There's a difference. This Wikipedia really spells it out. Explaining to a hesitant Walt that you do not need a criminal lawyer, parentheses, a lawyer who defends criminals, but a criminal lawyer, parentheses, a lawyer who is also a criminal. Thanks!
It was too subtle to pick up on our own, so thank God they spelled it out like that.
Walt loses a coin toss and he has to go talk to him, and he's wearing as a disguise an Albuquerque Isotopes hat.
Yes, I was really excited to see this because I know a lot about minor league baseball teams because of reasons. And one of the things that's kind of crazy is this minor league baseball team is Albuquerque's actual minor league baseball team. And it was named after the Simpsons episode where they had the Springfield Isotopes. And at the end they say, F it, we're going to Albuquerque. And the people of Albuquerque were like, yeah, let's just name it after the Isotopes. Like, after that episode of the Simpsons.
I did not know that. That is like when I learned that the Toronto Raptors were like named basically, not directly, but basically after Jurassic Park.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fun. God, that Simpsons episode is one of my favorite lines of all time. That's not even funny out of context, which is he finds out that they're moving the isotopes to Albuquerque and then they drug him and he doesn't remember anything. And Bart wakes him up and he's like, got drunk last night? He's like, yeah, if I get a couple of beers, I'll be quirky. I'll be quirky. Albuquerque! And then remembers everything. It's a good show. The Simpsons.
I mean, it had its moments, yeah.
I'm in season 19 of my rewatch now, and it is getting hard.
Yeah. What decade would that be? What year would that have aired?
It is around this time, actually. It's around like 2008, 2009.
Yeah, I gave up on it well before then.
Most people did. It was actually, it stayed good longer than people give it credit for. Okay. I noticed the first season where I was like, this is more bad than good, was actually season 17. I was watching 16, and I was like, this is still solid.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, the first 8 seasons are the only good ones. That's a fucking lie. Season 9 and 10 are almost perfect. And I'll die on that hill, too.
I could not name any season from any episode from, and point it to a season. I like The Simpsons Ride at Universal.
I like it, but I wish they didn't have, it's like 3D animation, right?
Yeah.
Like shitty Pixar. I wish it was like, you know, just like regular drawn animation.
Yeah, I could see that. I think one of the things that I like about it is that, like, Kelsey Grammer is such an important, like, this voice in this, like, for sure fine with Dan Castellaneta being Homer and, like, the regular cast, but it's like Kelsey Grammer getting a chance to be in a theme park ride. It must be such a weird honor for him, you know? Yeah.
It's cool. Sideshow Bob. He's a fun character.
I feel like there is a character that he plays that's featured in a Disneyland ride, but I must be wrong.
Is it Beast from X-Men Last Stand?
No, it's not Beast from X-Men Last Stand.
Is it the Frasier ride?
No, I think this probably is wrong, but I think they must feature Stinky Pete in the Midway Mania like ride where
Who's Stinky Pete? Oh, he's Stinky Pete?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. He is Stinky Pete. Holy shit, I never realized that.
Yeah.
From Toy Story 2, everyone. Catch up.
I don't know. I know you're probably not supposed to like Kelsey Grammer, and there's a million reasons not to, but I still kind of do. And I'm like happy when I see actors like
I'm having
like
a Jason
that.
Lee moment. Why don't we like Kelsey Grammer?
Because of like, he had a very public, and I don't know who is at fault, but like public and problematic divorce with his wife. And then I think he may have had some DUIs.
I just know he's like pretty right wing.
Is he really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he voted for that Donald Trump guy who I'm just not a fan of.
No,
I don't know what
it
is about him. I just don't like him. Let's see. Maybe he'll redeem himself like Jason Lee did last week.
Yeah, and I'll have to eat my words.
Because Jason Lee, great guy. all right, we're on the personal life of Kelsey Grammer's Wikipedia, everybody. Let's dive in.
Is this the most divergent we've gotten from Breaking
Bad? This is so much less divergent than last week. This is, compared to last week, we are laser focused. guys, he's been married 4 times and has 7 grandchildren. 7 children and 1 grandchild as of 2011. Okay, everything here above board. You can be married 4 times. Sure. That's fine.
Fine.
He was first married to a dance instructor, Doreen Alderman, 1982 to 1990. Pretty long stint.
Yeah.
They were separated for the last 6 years of that period. Okay, Jesus. You were separated for longer than you were actually married. Okay. after his divorce from Alderman, Grammer had a daughter with hair and makeup stylist Barry Buckner. Okay. And his second marriage to Leanne lasted 1 year. Grammer filed for an annulment when she was 3 months pregnant. Yeesh.
Oh, boy.
And evicted her from their home. Oof. The pregnancy ended in a miscarriage. Ugh.
Oh.
Grammer claimed she was abusive and fired a gun at him. Yeesh. A lot going on in that paragraph. In 1994, he met 28-year-old, Tammy Bolesnewski, also known as Tammy Alexander. We'll just say that, then. At a bar in Manhattan Beach, they appeared together in the cover of People. And then they got engaged, announcing their engagement and Grammer's substance abuse problems. Oh, boy. Okay. I'll edit that down, but God. In August 1997, Grammer married his third wife, dancer, model, Camille Donachichi.
Yeah, that was the one that was very public, I feel.
Oh, this paragraph's long. Okay, let's get into it.
Yeah.
They met at a blind date in 1996. They have a daughter. Everything so far?
Checks out.
Fine. And a son, both born to a surrogate mother. Okay, that's a choice.
Yeah.
During their marriage, several of Grammer and Donachichi's homes were featured in magazines. Cool. You're allowed to feature your home in a magazine. That's fine.
That's good.
Including ones in, Malibu, Maui, Long Island. Fuck, man. Bel Air, Christ. In New York City, they lived at 15 Central Park. Okay.
Seems nice.
Seems cool. It was announced on July 1st, 2010, that Grammer had filed for divorce, citing irreconcilable differences. Not a lot there. Okay. Later on, he announced he's going to be a father for a fifth time with girlfriend Kate Walsh, an English flight attendant 25 years younger than him.
Okay.
However, in October, Grammer announced that Walsh had miscarried 6 weeks earlier. Okay. Then they got engaged and married at the Plaza Hotel, which is its own can of worms in New York. And they had two sons. And it looks like they're still together.
Okay, so nothing that...
Grammer's a supporter of the Republican Party and endorses the Tea Party movement. He, one of Hollywood's best-known Republicans and a rare spark of red in a blue sea of Democrats. Okay.
Who the fuck wrote that?
Well, he's supportive of same-sex marriage.
Okay.
Cool. He has expressed skepticism on the scientific consensus on climate change. And additionally, he stated in a 2016 interview with The Guardian that he... that the person he admired most was Vladimir Putin because he is so comfortably who he is. Yeesh. He also expressed support of Britain leaving the European Union.
Oh, boy.
He has labeled Washington politicians a bunch of clowns. he's expressed an interest in someday running for United States Congress. Please don't.
Yeah, you got a lot of baggage, man. Maybe just stick to the funny business.
He endorsed Rudy Giuliani for the 2008 presidential primary.
So I think we've determined that we're not crazy about his politics, and he seems a little bit weird.
Here's a ray of hope, though. After Mitt Romney won the nomination in 2012, Grammer endorsed Mitt Romney.
Oh, my God.
And we like Mitt Romney on this show. We don't agree with everything he says, but we like him. But then one last thing. He supported Ben Carson in 2016 and then endorsed Donald Trump when he won the nomination. Okay, so... not a Jason Lee situation.
He was not abdicated by any sense. Or vindicated, maybe, I guess.
Oh, gee. And there's a whole big paragraph on legal issues. Okay, so there's a lot there.
We have a sense.
We're
going to
move on.
Where
we got
going.
It. We get it.
Yeah.
We get it. That's going to be harder to edit than Avengers Endgame. okay. Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. So, anyways, they go.
They're in Saul's office.
Yeah, and Saul's like, we'll just do this quickly. Saul's like, hey, it's all good. I've got a good deal for him. He'll do time served. Plus, he's going to rat out, like, he's got a lot of good information so he can rat out where he got the meth because he's under the impression that Walt is Brandon's uncle. And Walt is like, whoa, how about I give you 10 grand and you make that kid go to fucking jail?
Yeah, because Saul's specifically like, he works for this Heisenberg guy, this fucking knucklehead. The DEA want him like they have big boners. Or something. He says it pithier than I just did. But, and then Walt's like, you see like a Garfield thought bubble, and Walt goes, oh no, but I'm Heisenberg.
What?
And then he tries to bribe Saul, and they do a funny cutaway gag where he's like, he's back in Jesse's car, and apparently Saul was like, that is morally bankrupt to accept a bribe. Blah, blah, blah.
Yes. And they're very surprised. And so then I think the next scene is just like Francesca and Saul leaving and Saul being a predator at her, kind of like, can I follow you home? That booty is killing me. Like,
yeah, which is a weird line. And I told Meg that, like, Peter Gould has expressly, because this is so different than Saul is in both Better Call Saul and later Breaking Bad. He's not like a... he likes Thai women masseuses, but he's not, like, weird to
his people in his office. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, we just know a lot more about Francesca later, and it's really not a sexual thing, or it doesn't seem like it.
Where she's just, like, you mean she's, like, kind of a hard ass and stuff like that?
She's kind of a hard ass, and, like, he respects her, so, like, it's just weird that, like, man, I'm dying for that booty. Like, it's just a lazy line, too.
Yeah, there was no reason for it, I guess, just to paint him as a creep. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, at the time, this is all they knew of him. They're just probably like, scummy lawyer. And just, he just wasn't as filled out, I guess.
Yeah. So then, immediately, they abduct him. They put a bag over his head. They take him out to the desert where there's a shallow grave. And he's like, whoa, okay, how about instead of killing me, we work this out? And he deduces through Walt's cough that it's actually Walt, Mr. Mayhew, abducting him. And he's like, just pay me some money so you can have attorney-client privilege. And we'll figure this out. Everything's going to be good. And
one thing that's kind of fun about this scene
Ooh.
Is when they're kidnapping him and he's scared, he thinks they're the cartel, and he mentions several names. And these were just offhanded lines of dialogue. All of these names have been paid off in Better Call Saul now.
Oh, really?
This scene makes way more sense now. of like everything he said scared has like a shit ton of context now, and it's very fun that they did that. He mentioned someone named Ignacio. They mentioned someone named Lalo. He's like, you're not. And then when they say they're not, they don't know who Lalo is. He's like, oh, thank Christ. That makes, I mean, I can't say anything more than that, but that's very fun. I mean, keep those in your noodle. That it'll come up. Like, it's great.
They are in the noodle. They're in my noodle. Okay. So then on top of that,
He says he has more jokes. He says they look like the Weather Underground. That's fun. I just learned about who they were on a podcast the other day for the first time.
I don't know about that.
It's like a protest movement in the 70s. They would put bombs places.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. Yeah. That's funny. There was also for a while an app called the Underground Weather app.
The Weather Underground. It's kind of obscure now. I remember the podcast I was listening. They would put bombs places, but then warn people that a bomb was there, so like people wouldn't die, but just be like, "Look what we could do."
Yeah.
And so that's why I think it might be. They do stuff like that. I don't know. I don't know enough about things to talk about things.
No, yeah, no, ditto. I'm in the same boat.
It sucks. It sucks. Because I want to have big opinions on things.
Yeah.
And I can't.
Do you ever find yourself afraid that like your opinions aren't like smart enough, and that like you just have the same thoughts as everyone else, and that like, you know, you don't have a big enough brain power to be one of those people who has got like thoughtful things to say? Because I certainly have that.
Even worse, I think I do have enough brain power, and I think you do too, but I think sometimes I'm just like, oh, maybe I just don't have the curiosity, and I'm fine just dying in a puddle of Nintendo Switch controller sweat. And so I don't know. The ends of these episodes, we get pretty down on ourselves sometimes, and it looks like this one is no different. He makes the point that someone's got to go to jail. Oh, he mentions, which is kind of fun, he mentions prison shanking. He's like, just kill Badger, which is kind of fun, because Walt's like, that could work. And later on, he does that a lot.
Yeah.
He gets a lot of people shanked in prison.
Yeah, he's like, all within 2 minutes of it themselves.
Yeah,
it seems like he's a little like, we could just shank him. And of course, Jesse's like, no, stop it. No, we don't kill
Jesse's
Badger.
Like, then a friend of mine will die. And Jesse's a fucking bummer when friends of his die.
He's never had a friend die before, I bet. That at this point, what? Like,
has he? I'm trying to think.
No,
you're right.
Combo's the first one.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And then a lot of friends die very quickly.
In successive order.
Yeah, Combo, Jane. That's it for a little bit. And then it's like Mike and, you know, maybe
Andrea right in front of him.
Yeah. He is banging his head on the window, making it bleed. Yeah.
It's a bummer. That's I think that's the most disturbing scene in the series for me.
Yeah, it is hard to see how quickly she's like drawn out of her apartment.
That or the first shot where it shows him being like face beaten to a pulp in the little like meth pit that he's in, and then Todd brings him out and he's just like, come on, and then he puts him on his little leash. He's like, all right, ready to cook. I think that because they have like creepy music on there. Oh, and then there's a picture of Andrea and Brock there.
Yeah,
I don't know why we're talking about that episode. That's old news.
Yeah, we've done that a year ago. Uh-huh.
Oh god, a fucking year ago. Jesus.
I remember when my brother, who was like, oh, you're doing this thing, it's gonna take like a year to complete or more, and I was like, I don't know what your point is. Like,
what's the point?
Yeah,
it took those suckers Vince Gilligan like 8 years to finish Breaking Bad,
so we're way ahead of schedule.
Yeah, did it take 8 years? 2007 to 2013. Math.
So it took six years.
Yeah, okay. Whoops. But he's like, well, someone's got to go to prison. It just is a matter of who. So a scheme is born.
Yes, and it costs $80,000. And basically they find this guy, James Kilkelly, who we've heard about before because...
Oh, yeah, we have.
After Combo is killed and he's giving, like, and by he, I mean Hank, is giving a rundown to the DEA of, like, here's where the blue meth stuff is. And I don't think this is how the DEA works, but maybe I'm wrong. They say, like, James Kilkelly, I don't think this guy is actually Heisenberg. I think he was paid to take the fall. So they have a whole scheme of ruin about James going to jail for Walt. I mean, for all intents and purposes, the way that Badger describes Heisenberg is, you know.
He describes as bald, old.
Medium height, medium build.
Two questions about James Kilkelly.
I don't think he's sexy.
No. I mean, I think he is, and I knew you wouldn't, because we have different types. But do you think after Walt gets found out after the finale, he would be like, even though he confessed to it, they'd be like, you're out of here. You didn't actually do it.
Yeah.
They would, okay. Even though he was caught with meth, like, would he get, like, an obstruction of justice charge?
He probably already got time served, right? Because, like, he's in jail for, like, 2 years past this point.
Yeah, that's true.
So any charge they give him, would he'd already have served the time for, basically.
Oh, true. Well, then my second thing is, so he got $30,000 for this. How much money is that? Because in prison, like, you obviously need to put money in your commissary, right? Is $30,000 like $1 million in prison money?
I don't know. And is that how it works, the commas?
Yeah, you, like, don't get a lot of shit, and then you have to... I've been watching a YouTube channel run by this, like, lady who was in prison for 10 years, and she's, like, talks about it, and she's, like, clean now. And she was in, like, an Arkansas prison. And, you, like, need to have money. And that's why the jobs there... But the jobs there you can get, like, you get jobs, quote-unquote, like janitorial, laundry, or whatever, but they pay like 75 cents an hour.
Yeah.
Which is its own issue. And like, then they use that to pay. This is an oversimplification, and I'm getting a lot of stuff wrong, everyone. like, mass incarceration is actually like an issue I care about, so I hate that I'm fucking this up. Back to me wishing I knew more things. But I have so much Mario to play. Anyway. But yeah, so $30,000 just if you know you're only going to spend it in prison, because obviously that's not a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
In outside land.
Yeah, like, but that's not a very, even in 2009 money, 30 grand a year isn't raking it in, you know.
Yeah, but I don't know. The idea of a guy who's more comfortable in prison than out, it makes me so sad because that, how hard it is for ex-convicts to do anything.
Yeah.
It's really scary, and it makes prison seem so much better after you're used to it. You just don't have to worry about anything except for the shit that would scare me that they're used to. I don't know.
Yeah, but I guess if he's the type of guy who's just like, I've, you know, been caught doing a lot of petty theft and crime, like not non-violent crime, and it doesn't seem like he's got much of an attitude about it if he feels like safe there, so he's probably the type of person who, like, nobody fucks with and, like, is just, you know, keep your head down type of person, not a competing ego thing. Maybe he would feel relatively safe there, you know?
Yeah, but I wish he could get a jobs program, and I think he could thrive outside.
Sure.
Prison.
Yeah, no, it's depressing as hell, but I think, you know, like, it's also depressing that you can go bankrupt if you get sick in this country, you know?
I think that's fine. I'm cool with that. We beat that to death last week.
Sure.
If you're sick, can't afford it, then you can't afford to live, my friend. And that's okay. It's sad. It's a bummer. Guys, there's some sad shit in the world.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I can't really do anything about it. And that makes me feel sadder.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm done. I'm spinning myself into circles. Let's just move on.
Okay. So anyways, they orchestrate a sting, basically, for Brandon to get the faux Heisenberg picked up on a meth dealing charge. And they are camped outside. Everybody who's in on this knows what's about to. Everybody knows what's about to happen. It's just theater. That's the weirdest fucking thing. Like, James Kilkelly knows what's about to happen. Everybody knows what's about to happen. There is nobody getting surprised by this. And
question.
Yeah.
Did you just fucking love this part? When I was excited to watch this episode with you, because I was like, Meg's gonna fucking love this ending. She'll love it.
So to be completely honest, I had heard about this episode and this scene in particular a lot from my ex-boyfriend, like, for years.
I fuck that guy.
You like him, okay.
Oh, no, this ex-boyfriend? Okay, I like that ex-boyfriend, yeah. Sorry.
but so I knew that there was gonna be at least... I didn't know how they were going to do it, but I knew at least that it was going to be fucked up on the benches. And
and shit, this ex-boyfriend knows the actor who plays Badger personally, yeah, like, right? Very well. Okay, yeah. So that makes sense that he would talk to you about it.
Yeah, he's, like, good friends with Badger, but, like...
Yeah.
Okay. So I knew this scene was
going to... He's a good guy. I was joking, everyone. I was joking, ex-boyfriend, if you're listening.
He absolutely is.
Okay. Oh, he's great. No, I was just kidding.
But so I knew about this scene because he was like, standout. It's one of the funniest scenes I've seen on that show. And I just like love seeing my friend in this scene. But I didn't know anything else other than like the benches would be weird and that Jesse would have to like yell at him. But I thought it was going to be like, I thought it was going to be even more like vaudeville slapsticky. Like, so I thought this was a fun scene though.
I was pretty. I love Bryan Cranston kind of turning into Hal from Malcolm in the Middle for a little bit.
Yeah.
Talking to Hank. I'd just be like, oh, are you undercover? Is things going down? Like, it's fun.
Yeah, it was.
Like, we think he's a good guy now.
No, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay, sorry. Thought I could slip that in.
Yeah, I liked seeing that too, where you see him assume this identity for a little bit and just Hank being like, dude, just fucking movies. Like, oh, are you doing work? Like that. That was great. Yeah, that was pretty funny. And then to see, I think my favorite part about all of it is neither Jesse nor Walt, but it is Badger and the guy taking the fall acting so awkward and uncomfortable because they both know what's about to happen. And they're so like they're so jagged in their movements. I thought that might've been just like how they were interacting was my favorite part, I think, of the scene.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I love Badger talking to the guy who isn't James Kilkelly and just be like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Where's the stuff?
Yeah, come on, dude. And just have Walt block the car and have Jesse be like, wrong bench, asshole, or whatever. All of that.
It's great. And they have some, like, nice, just Spanish music? I don't know. Like, da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, it sounds like the Gerudo Desert for you Zelda fans. It's good.
Wait, the Gerudo Desert is like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, isn't it?
No, wait, okay.
Maybe that was the Divine Beast. Is that it?
I think that's a Divine Beast. I'm thinking Gerudo Desert Ocarina of Time.
Oh, sorry, I was thinking of Breath of the Wild.
I have hot takes on Breath of the Wild.
I just haven't played that many other Zeldas, to be honest.
Gerudo Valley. Can you hear
it?
Oh,
yeah.
That's
like when you're fighting one of those big worms.
Yeah. Doesn't the sound like what was playing?
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da. That was the part I was... Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. Good song.
I hate to go on a tangent, but my favorite bit of music that I've heard in a Zelda song is when you fight the Taluses in Breath of the Wild, and it's like, bum, bum,
bum, bum. Oh, that's fun. Yeah. The Taluses are the big rock people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it's like, dun, 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 dun. I'll send you a clip. I listen to it when I work out sometimes.
It is fun. If you and I hosted a video game podcast, we'd probably quadruple the amount of people who listen to this shit.
I'm just not that into games outside of like...
They're more popular than decades-old TV shows. They just are.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait, how many Zeldas have you played?
I've definitely... Was Breath of the Wild the one I played the most and had the most opinions on? But I've definitely played parts of all of them.
Well, because I know, even before I'd played Breath of the Wild, I know you were kind of talking up how your daughter's good at killing Calamity Ganon.
Yeah, she's really good.
Which is fun.
A friend of ours, Eileen O'Connell, she and I had a running bit, and I don't know how insincere it is, where we kind of think that the general energy around the bird guy in Breath of the Wild is
pretty sexy.
Like, he's just very confident and like, but has the skills to back it up.
I believe his name is Revali.
Yes, it is.
And I remember you guys doing this bit before I played the game.
Yeah.
And
Well, because he would be like, I'm the greatest archer in all the four kingdoms. And I would be like, wow, go on, man.
It was the first Zelda game with voice acting, and I really think they shit the bed at that. It's some of the worst fucking voice acting I've ever heard in my goddamn life.
Really? I remember, like, going back and forth and talking to the voice actor on Twitter a lot that played Revali. Ooh. Like, he was somebody you could talk to.
He was the best one. Mm-hmm. Whoever played, like, the Goron child was awful. He's like, no, my daddy's gone. Whoa! And it was just like, I fucking hated it. And the girl who did Zelda was so breathy. Yeah. And I don't know. And then the guy who played that pedophile character was just, he was like, I'm a pedophile! And, like, it was frustrating. I made that up. That's not a real thing.
I was trying to think, is that where he kept, they kept horses? Like, I couldn't.
Yeah, there's a guy who fucks horses, yeah. And he's just like, I like fucking horses! And he was, like, honestly the best one, which is frustrating, because he was the most
believable in his intention.
Yeah, because he likes fucking horses, and he sounded like a horse fucker. So, anywho, the scam goes good.
Are you ready to part, like, get rid of that Zelda game? Because, you know, there's people over here who definitely play it.
Don't you have it?
I know, like, their dad has it.
Oh, I don't buy physical Switch games. I download them all. I bought a big chonky SD card.
Shit.
And I just, because I don't want all those little cartridges running around.
They apparently get lost. Taste shitty.
I believe it.
No, they made them special to taste bad, so people just believe it. They taste bitter.
So kids don't chew on them? Yeah. Like, that makes sense. Yeah. That's pretty good bro ship, Nintendo. Nice.
I remember, I'm always like a thousand, like, I'm whenever there's a new system, I never know about it. And so, mm-hmm. like, when it came out in 2017, my husband at the time was like, so there's going to be a Nintendo Switch arriving. And I was like, what is that? Like, I had no clue what was happening at all.
I want the new Xbox so bad.
Oh.
I don't know what I want more, that or a vaccine.
Well, if you got the new Xbox, you wouldn't have to go out at all.
Yeah, that's true. Just because, I don't know, I want it. I want the new Xbox really bad. I want to play all the Halos on it. I want to get the new Halo when it comes out. And just, I want it. I want it right now. There is a number of dicks I would suck. I don't know what that number is, but it exists.
Okay. Ideally, you'd only be like one if you just found the right one that would give you the Xbox.
Just one dick? Wow. Okay.
I mean, it depends. I don't know how to find that dick. I'm just saying, I bet you there is a dick, just one dick you could suck that would unlock an Xbox for you.
It's just, I don't have a job right now, so I don't have money coming in, and they're not available right now. So I have like a good amount of savings right now, but that's going to be dwindling. Mm-hmm. And I've been told that they might be available in June when I'll be the most poor, and so I'm not happy about that. I want it. I want a new Xbox in my mouth right now.
I can't help with that.
Yeah, I know. I know. The scam goes well. They arrest James Kilkelly.
Yes.
And we cut to Walter's classroom.
And he's grading papers like a dickhead, just like not even close. What the fuck is that?
Which is just like, I don't know, it'd be bad for a student. Like, not even like a please see me after class, like we need to discuss like private tutoring or something.
No, he's an asshole about it.
He's literally directly responsible for Jesse's being a degenerate.
Is he?
I think so. Because if Jesse was a student and he probably was like this to him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was just a dickhead about it. And I felt really sad to think that somebody was like, I don't really know. Because it's not like anybody's ever purposely, I don't think, ever purposely trying to not do well at school. In terms of, like, at some point down the line, they were like, this is just too hard and I'm always going to get it wrong and feel stupid anyways, so I might as well give up. I feel like that's probably a journey of a lot of these students, right? So it's like, this girl, probably your boy, was like, I just don't know, and tried, and then he still was an asshole to him, which is like, maybe that's more on you, man.
Yeah, you catch more flies with honey than vinegar. If you make them interested in science, then maybe they'll fucking apply themselves.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think he's a good guy, but I think in this one aspect, me and Meg think he's got, at this point in the show, is like a good soul, but
don't speak for me.
Well, that Band-Aid. And so, and that one, this one instance, like as a teacher, we think he could use work. And then Saul comes in.
And Saul is like, hey, I found you pretty easy because I have this guy named Mike Ehrmantraut who tracks people and he billed me for 3 hours, which makes me think he already knew where you lived.
It's funny because I don't even think the name Mike is mentioned this season. Like, even when he's in the finale, I'm pretty sure he's literally credited as like the fixer.
Yeah, that's funny.
Which is fun. And then later on, they're like, that Jonathan Banks guy. I mean, as long as there's no pandemic, he'd be great for a long role. Yeah, and then he's like, hey, I want to be on the show more.
Yeah, it was probably all his decision. And so he's like, why don't we, you know, work together and I can, you know, help you out. And we have another Godfather reference. And
yeah, two Godfather references, two episodes in a row.
Wild, right?
Last episode, Hank says, just when they pull me out, they pull me back in. And this one he calls, Fredo, and he calls himself Tom Hagen. Have you seen The Godfather?
Yeah, but not in a long time.
It's good. It's a good movie.
I've heard that, but I've heard the last one was not that good.
Yeah, people don't like the last one. They just did a re-edit of it. What's-his-face, Francis Ford Coppola, who's like a genuine insane person now, re-edited it, and I'm kind of excited to see what he did.
Do you think it'll make any fucking sense, then, if he's genuinely insane?
I think this one, he, like, did it for the money, so it's probably a little, like... He's like, no, I want to make it. There was a lot of bullshit with. I know too much about the production of The Godfather 3, so I don't want to get into it. But I think it generally is probably like better. But like, I don't know. The problem with Godfather 3 is he cast his daughter in a part, and she's Sofia Coppola, who's like a genuinely good director now, but she cannot act.
Yeah.
And so it's like really bad. And Winona Ryder was supposed to play it, and it's like, ugh, wish she would have. So I don't know how you can edit around that. And also Robert Duvall was supposed to be in it. And then it was like, they weren't going to pay him any money. And he's like, well, fuck you. And then they kind of had to like rewrite it on the fly. Mm. That's that. I'm done. Okay. I'll stop. Yeah. And then Saul's like, hey, if you want to keep the money you make, better call Saul. And then it opens the door in the sexiest way.
Just like all forearm. No fucking.
Yeah. Just like, goom. Yeah. He looked like a fucking black belt opening that thing. Yeah. I loved it.
I think it was a weird way to go. I don't know.
I loved it. That was a good, for our purposes, a wonderful like ride off into the sunset for our friend Bob Odenkirk.
True.
Walking his tight ass out that door.
Oh, God, don't remind me. Oh, it makes me sad. He's such an integral part of this whole thing, and now he's gone.
He's gone. I mean, you can never talk about wanting to gargle his balls or whatever we did in those early episodes again. I mean, we can do it as much as we like, but it's a free country.
And is that the end of the episode?
It's the executive producer Vince Gilligan. Yeah, it's the end of the episode. Yeah. So Meg, what grade do you give this?
I give it an A.
Okay, good. I was like, if this isn't an A, I'm gonna fucking riot. where do you think The Ringer places it?
I think this one's pretty high. And I think it's 23.
Not high enough, Meg. It's 12.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
I was going to say 14, Yeah. But I felt like that was too ambitious.
14 is a little episode you might have heard of called Fly. Oh. And 23 is a little episode you may have heard of called Live Free or Die. It was in season 5. It's a good one.
Isn't that the one where he shanked all those people? Season 5? Isn't that like the first?
Oh, yeah. It's not the shank one. Sorry. That's Gliding Overall. Yeah. That's, what happens in Live Free or Die?
No, that's the second last one, isn't it? No, it's because they.
Live Free or Die is the magnet one. That's where they do the magnet thing.
The magnet thing? Oh, the one with the truck?
Yeah. That's Live Free or Die.
I thought. Never mind. Okay, going forward.
No, what do you think?
I thought Live Free or Die, I don't know why, I thought it was the state motto for New Hampshire or wherever.
It is the state motto for New Hampshire. We had a big discussion about
okay.
this.
Okay, so I thought it was a New Hampshire heavy episode. Does it
it's
open?
It opens with the flash forward.
Okay.
And it's like where he's giving his ID to the Denny's lady and she's like, New Hampshire, huh? Long drive.
Oh yeah, and he's like 30 hours without stopping or whatever, yeah.
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 Uh-huh. And yeah.
Okay.
And then he's like, you know, I don't know. So this is usually the part of the episode where you talk. We talk about suicidal thoughts and
just general
anxiety and not thinking you're good enough. And it's for the late crowd.
Yeah, I think we could pass on that this time.
We'll pass. We're gonna skip. Me and Meg are in a pretty good mood today, so we're gonna pass on that. Okay. I guess this is a good time to cut it off here. Write a fucking review,
please. And also follow LL Cool Sharf on Zanga.
Follow LL Cool Sharf, you incel cucks.
Yeah, fucking cucks.
Yeah, God, I hate all of you who didn't write a review. That you two just listen to this like it's free content. You motherfuckers.
You motherfuckers. And until next time.
Until next time, a mighty fine Heisenberg to you.
Fair listener.